You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
U.S. President Barack Obama invited German Chancellor Angela Merkel to Washington this week. The call may have been an attempt to mend ties. For last year, Edward Snowden's disclosure over U.S. National Security Agency spying on Merkel triggered an angry reaction and damaged German and U.S. relations. This has been just the latest in a string of controversies surrounding the NSA and data theft. Journalist Marcy Wheeler has been following the NSA spying scandals closely. She's author of the book Anatomy of Deceit, and she runs the website emptywheel.net. And she's just joined us by phone from Michigan. Hello, Marcy, and welcome to Red Eye.
Thanks for having me.
When the revelations about spying on overseas leaders became public, Obama at first defended it, saying that the U.S. is not constrained by laws in such cases. Was that a valid statement?
Right. I mean, from the perspective of the United States, there are a set of laws mostly lumped under FISA that protects American citizens. And then there's what's called Executive Order 12333, which is just a presidential decree which governs all the rest of our spying. And they have maintained that it is legal, whether or not it's a good idea, it is legal for the NSA and for other spy agencies in the United States to spy on other countries' leaders. So from an internal perspective, that's sort of what he was saying.
And, of course, that didn't wash very well with people like Merkel or leaders of other allied countries to the U.S. who seem to be a bit more irate.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things going on with that. One is that I think there's been a great deal of pressure in Germany, in Brazil, especially those two countries, a number of other countries, as the extent of spying on regular citizens or collecting bulk data from regular citizens, and then the revelations that the presidents were being spied on, I think made it much more necessary for the presidents to respond. But the other thing that's going on, too, is that there's a lot of data sharing going on, certainly between Canada and the United States within what's called the Five Eyes relationship, where they share pretty much everything. But even between the Five Eyes, so Canada, the United States, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, sharing with other European countries, they just don't get as much. And they're always lobbying to get more, to be closer into that Five Eyes relationship, because then they get more data that the U.S. and that NSA and GCHQ are collecting sort of for free. So those are both, I think, motivations on the part of Angela Merkel. The other thing, too, is that the U.S. and the U.K. are sort of in a competitive position with the rest of the EU as far as their monetary systems. And I think there's real sensitivity to, given sort of the collapse of the Eurozone of late, that the United States and the U.K. might be also spying for those kind of financial reasons.
That economic spying is something that sort of gets passed over in the media.
The U.S. claims that it does not conduct economic espionage. So in other words, they don't go in and steal Airbus's plans and then give it to Boeing. Although certain defense contractors see both of Boeing's and Airbus's plans because they're all contracting on the same bids. What the U.S. does do, and they haven't denied, they sort of like to pretend to deny it, but they haven't denied that they conduct financial spying. They haven't denied that they, we certainly know that they conduct spying on oil providers to find out whether their claims about their reserves are real. And they will spy, for example, to find out what kind of regulations different jurisdictions are planning and how that's going to impact U.S. companies. So You know, the U.S. government will spy for Monsanto in pretty much any jurisdiction and make sure that Monsanto's interests are represented. I'm just using them as an example because a lot of countries don't like what they do. But the U.S. doesn't consider that industrial espionage. It's something else.
Overseas spying is just the most recent revelation, however, and domestic spying by the NSA has been the more controversial issue in the public arena. How long has this kind of spying been going on and being collected?
The U.S. started collecting off of telecom. I mean, one of the background issues here is that as technology moved from analog to digital, you could no longer literally tap a line, kind of listen to the analog line. You had to get in and steal the digital data. And the U.S. started preparing for that in the 90s, if not earlier. And at the same time, most of the world's telecom infrastructure would go through the United States and or the UK. So in other words, at the same time where it became necessary to actually to steal digital data, the global telecom infrastructure made it much easier for the UK and the United States to do that. And that was not a mistake. That was not happenstance. But so this kind of stealing of data has been going on since before 9/11. After 9/11, it ramped up significantly, using terrorism as rationale, and surely everyone else is doing it as well. It's just that the U.S. and the U.K. have this great advantage because of the infrastructure of the telecom system. And then since 2004, 2006, 2008, that collection of data has been moving under different regulatory regimes. But even there, there's at least hints that that they move back and forth. So in other words, the U.S. will collect internet metadata domestically so long as they can get everything they want. Turns out they can't. And so now they appear to be collecting internet metadata overseas where there are fewer limits on the routing information that really is what they're looking for.
You hinted at it, and I'm wondering if I'm inferring quite correctly, that the so-called war on terror waged is the main or at least a vital part of getting away with this massive amount of spying.
That is the stated, that has been the stated rationale since the Snowden leaks started. Now, it's actually funny. I read an article this morning from 2012 about the Utah data center, and Chris Inglis, the deputy director of the NSA, who actually just resigned or retired in the last few days, he was straight up in 2012, but it was about finding hackers, not finding terrorists. And it is, increasingly, up until the Snowden leaks, increasingly our government was saying it was about cybersecurity. It was not about terrorists as much. But then since the Snowden leaks started coming out, I think the government realized that they needed to be even more fearful. And so they've reverted back to the terrorism justification, which really is less and less of what they're doing.
What is most of what they're doing?
Well, I think cybersecurity and other, for example, intellectual property policing, I think are increasingly what they're doing. I think some of the collection methods make more sense for cybersecurity. They're looking for code as much as looking for phone numbers, if that makes sense. And there are clearly a bunch of foreign intelligence reasons they're doing this, and there are probably some mapping reasons. In other words, they're mapping communities and people that might be targets for hacking or terrorism, and they're just trying to have that in the back pocket. So I think all of that is going on, but I do think that as the NSA targets what would fall under cyber targets more broadly, increasingly, I think what they're targeting is going to change, and frankly, who they're going to target is going to change, because there's as many hackers from within the United States as there are from China, if you will. And so they're going to continually, they're going to increasingly target people domestically and claim that anything cyber is a foreign target, even though it's not.
And we've heard about targeting things like Google, Yahoo, Microsoft. Is there much difference in the response that these structures have given to the spying that's going on?
Well, in general, all of the internet companies, and certainly anybody who's in the business of cloud storage, is panicking because people in other countries are rightly saying, I'm going to make it harder for the NSA to spy on me by having data here, although it's not clear that's going to work. But I understand the point. And certainly European internet companies are using this as a competitive advantage, and I don't blame them. I think there's a range of commitment among the internet companies to making it harder for the NSA to spy. So, for example, Google by default went to encrypting your email as it traveled AT&T's circuits, if you will. They're now encrypting your email as it travels within their systems because they learned that the U.S. was stealing from them overseas, whereas Microsoft hasn't been that aggressive about doing that. And frankly, Microsoft products have been exploited by the NSA to do things like hack Iran and their Stuxnet attack. And so one wonders what relationship there is between Microsoft and the federal government. So it varies, and it, frankly, Google has the financial resources to do the best, but Google is making us all less secure because they're stealing our data so that they can advertise to us. So they're not a laudable company in that, with regards to privacy. They just want to monopolize the data that they steal from us rather than letting the NSA get to it, and other companies aren't as careful about that.
Since Snowden's revelations, do you expect that there will be any changes now in how the government gathers information?
Well, President Obama has scheduled a press conference for Friday to announce what he's going to recommend for reform. He's not going to embrace many of the recommendations or some of the most important recommendations his review group recommended, including he's already preempted them by deciding not to split the head of the NSA position into two. They had recommended that you split it into somebody in charge of collecting information and somebody in charge of aggressively hacking other countries. And Obama basically preempted them and said, no, I'm going to keep that one and the same. I think another thing it's already clear they're trying to confuse the press and succeeding into forgetting about bulk collection. So in other words, they're saying, we're going to move the phone dragnet to the phone companies, but they're still effectively going to be doing bulk collection. They're going to be doing the same kind of access to all of America's records and then using those queries to do other kinds of bulk analysis. So that's not going to change. I mean, unless the press wakes up between now and Friday, I think there's very little pressure on. He's basically rolled the press thus far. And then the question becomes what Congress is going to be able to do. And the Republicans are increasingly remarkably committed to doing something about this. And if that holds, I think there will be the votes in Congress to force some change, although that's going to take some more time.
Well, thank you very much for this update and this analysis. It's not what we usually hear, and it's most welcome. Thank you, Marcy.
Thanks so much.
I've been speaking with Marcy Wheeler. She's author of the book Anatomy of Deceit. And if you want to read more of Marcy's coverage of NSA spying, you can go to her website, which is emptywheel.net.